Hi, I'm Brooke. I'm speaking from the United States, and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Hello, Coldplay fans, and welcome to the first ever episode, or maybe the first proper episode, of Code Talks. My name is Rodrigo. I'm your host for today's maybe all podcasts from Code Talks. And today we, as you listened in the beginning, we have Brooke here with us to make the debut of this podcast in the platforms and in the world. I'm very happy to be here. And I'm very happy that we are having the debut of this podcast in such a special week. This week, more specifically this Friday, we are having My Universe, the single with BTS. And I mean, lots of people talked about it. Lots of people comment about it online. And we on Twitter are having a very special moment with the ARMY, the BTS ARMY now, the BTS fans. We're having the opportunity to know them, and it's been very nice. So yes, I really hope My Universe is a blast, that it gets number one on charts and those kind of things. I don't care very much for charts. I think I mentioned it in some further episodes, but wow, this is for the future. Today we're having a conversation with Brooke. She's from the United States. She's from Philadelphia right now. She is a Coldplay fan since 2005. Believe it or not, it's a long time. She has a lot of stories to tell about live events and how they have impacted her life in so many different ways. She is an artist. I won't talk much about it because this is one of the best parts of our conversation, but she told about how Coldplay interfered in her life as an artist and in her life as a human being. Coldplay has this power to be more than music only, right? To teach things related to life and related to perspectives of the world and being just one big band, as they always says. And we talked a lot about it. So with no further ado, I introduce the conversation with Brooke. I hope you like it very much. We see each other in a few seconds. Thank you very much. Let's go. So hello. I hated my microphone. I need to stay away from this microphone here. Okay. Now we're talking. Hello, Brooke. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Have you ever been to a podcast before?
I've tried making my own podcast a couple of times, but they've always fallen apart.
Oh no, what's that? They fall apart. That's dramatic.
You know, you have to not only have the idea for it, but you have to have the ambition. Yeah. So I applaud you for taking on this task.
I wouldn't say that you need to have the ambition. I think that you need to have time sometimes.
Yes, that's...
That is something that we usually don't have.
Yep.
But, well, I'm just crazy for making this.
I always have time for Coldplay, so...
Yeah, that's my motto with the podcast. I think that's going to be the podcast motto. We always have time to talk about Coldplay.
Yeah.
So, for us to start, let's make a little introduction, a little profile. So, you are from the USA? More specifically, yes. Which part of the USA?
I'm from the Northeast. I grew up in New York State. Right now, I am living in Philadelphia.
Great. I have been to New York once in 2019, in the middle of 2019, and my heart is still there. I just wanted to be there. Very good. What's your favorite Coldplay album?
My favorite album... I have a really hard time ever picking one.
Me too. I love this question because we all have hard times picking one. So.
Yes. Well, basically what happens is, I mean, as of right now, Coldplay have 8 albums that they've released, and I have 4 top spots. So each one is 2 albums. So my favorite, my top spot is Milo Xylitol and X and Y.
Wow. That's cheating, but I'll be fine with that. Well, very good. And everybody that has already been here cannot list one album. Everybody just says two.
And they just keep making more good music. It just gets harder and harder.
Very good. Well, I think it's nice that you put Milo Xylitol on your favorite one. I personally don't know a lot of... I really love Milo Xylitol. I think is one of the best albums for sure that they have ever made. But I don't see many people putting them as the favorite. Can you say... I know it's hard to, but we're here to talk about it. But can you say why you have the both of them, Milo and X and Y, on your top list?
I think a big part of it is that, at least up until this point, they've been the most like space related albums, or like space adjacent, even though like X and Y really has nothing to do with space. It just has that kind of, except for the song.
Yeah.
It just has that feel to it. And so I think that's why for both of them, and with Milo Xylitol, it also just like the era itself is just like speaks to my soul with the space aspect and all the aesthetic for it with like the graffiti. I just love that. And X and Y also was the first Coldplay album that I ever listened to. That was the era that I got into Coldplay. So wow. It kind of has a special place.
Yeah, that happened to me with Viva La Vida. So I have the exact same story that you have just said with Viva La Vida. I really got you.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, so you must be really, really hyped about Music of the Spheres now, because, well, if you like space things, that's your moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited because I feel like it's kind of a mirror of Viva La Vida to Milo Xylitol, because we got Everyday Life, which is a more grounded, like earthy album, but with such a variety of the music that's on it. And from what we've heard in like the Overtura album preview, it sounds like Music of the Spheres is going to be really similar in incorporating a lot of different styles, but set in space. So to me, it kind of mirrors that, like, Viva La Vida and then Milo Xylitol, where both of those are kind of like revolutionary albums, but
Rebellion's
one's more earth.
Albums.
Yeah, but one's more earth-based and one's more space-based.
Perfect. That's amazing. I was not going to talk about Music of the Spheres now, but since you talked about it, it's going to sound a little bit random, but I was listening to an interview with Billie Eilish talking about her first album, and she said something like, I wanted to make an album that, the album has, I guess, 14 songs, and she said that she wanted to make an album where if you have a room with 14 very different people, all of them could enjoy at least one song. And I feel that Coldplay's doing something similar since Everyday Life, because Everyday Life is an organized, chaotic mess.
Yes.
I mean, we have...
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, right? We have Arabesque and then When I Need a Friend in sequence. But it works. It's something interesting. So I think, and because of Overtura and because of Higher Power and Human Heart and Coloratura, we're going to talk about them later. We have lots of different songs, and I mean, it's very nice to see Coldplay as a band who started like a bedroom project, and lots of quotation, but like a very small band. They literally rehearsed in Guy's or Johnny's apartment, something like that.
I believe it was in Johnny's bedroom, yeah.
Yeah, so they were literally like a bedroom band, now they're a stadium band, and they are making music for lots of people to enjoy. I think that's very beautiful. Well, you have trouble saying your favorite album. Now I want to know your favorite song, if you have one.
My favorite song is Easy. It's All I Can Think About Is You.
Oh my God.
And that's just an amazing song.
Yeah. I get so mad. I talked to Frank. You know Frank? Frank Shepard.
I think so.
It's not his name. It is not pronounced like Frank Shepard, but we said like that. We got very mad because this song was played live once. I mean, why? I get so mad at that.
But it was really cool to hear it played live, though, at the time, because we didn't... I think that was before they released the studio version of it. But still, it was definitely before the EP came out.
I remember that I listened to the live version after. I don't remember listening to it before it.
Gotcha.
But very good. Can you say why? Is this your favorite song?
Why is it my favorite? Well, this is a great question. I'm actually planning to make like a whole video on my YouTube channel about my top 10 Coldplay songs and why I love them. But with that song in particular, it's kind of like I can see some of this with their more recent stuff too, that like to me, I can hear their evolution as a band with entirely within this one song. So it's like modern day Coldplay, but it has some feeling to it that goes back to even like the Parachutes era. It's not that it sounds like a song from Parachutes, but it just has that Parachutes Coldplay feel, if that makes sense, or even pre-Parachutes Coldplay. And so that's one of the things that I really love about it. And I really, really, really love the way that the song is structured, because to me, it's like they all start playing at the same time, but it's like they're playing different songs, and then as the song progresses, they start to come together, and then they're all playing the same thing, and it's like then Johnny and Chris are doing the exact same thing at the same time at the climax of the song, and it's just great. So
yeah, in terms of structure, I really think that this song is kind of similar with Atlas from Hunger Games.
Yeah,
because I know Atlas started only with Chris on piano, but here we have the whole band. But if the idea that the climax is the end of the song, and I was listening to Atlas today after a long time without listening to it, and the only thing I could think about was like how this song is similar to All I Can Think About Is You.
Yeah.
In terms of structure,
I can definitely see what you mean.
You talked about this song being like everything that the band has done since the beginning. I have the same feeling with Coloratura.
Yep.
Because like we have like those big verses that's very stadium, but it's four guys playing and that's it, but it's amazing and huge sonically speaking. But we also have like that the middle of the song that it's like only teeny tiny, I don't know, xylophones and it grows and it's kind of Viva-esque. And then it goes back to like there's a very Christmas lighty part of the song too, that the BPM changes. We don't need to talk about music theory now, but this happens and I was like, oh my god, this is so amazing. You got me so. I wasn't going to listen to Coloratura. I was going to save it for the album when they released like some weeks ago. I said, I'm going to run away from Twitter. I'm not going to be here because people are going to be talking about it. And I'm going to feel free every time that I want to listen to Coloratura. I'm going to listen to the 500 remixes of Higher Power and I'm going to be okay with that. But I was like, I was almost 1 week away from Twitter, and then I went back and people were still talking about Coloratura like it was the release date. And I was like, what is happening? So I listened to it like a week later, basically.
Wow.
I could hold still like a week later. And I was just shocked. Yeah. And it was very nice because people were very supportive. Like, you need to listen to it. I remember Haley started DMing me, how come you haven't listened to it yet? But it's a song that for me personally has a very specific meaning of seeing Coldplay doing something that nobody expected them to do. But at the same time, we are not surprised that they did like a 10-minute song. And that's it. I just feel like crying when I remember this, because it's something just so escapist. And I think this is a very great point about Coldplay. They actually have a song with this name. it's I remember seeing them live and having this exact, I have only seen them live once, and we're going to talk about live concerts in a few seconds. But I remember seeing them live and I could believe that I was not on Earth anymore. I was 100% sure that I was not on Earth anymore, and that I have a strange energy inside of me that I could that could make anything be possible. This seems something like it can be a bit like utopic and maybe silly sometimes, like everything is possible if you never give up and you believe in love.
If you believe in love.
But it's so true when you feel it and when you were there and they have that big energy. And I have talked too much. I want to know about you. Have you ever been to work? I know that you have already been to lots of Coldplay concerts, and you're going to talk about
it. I have been to a few.
And so tell me, what do you have to say about them?
So it's like a weird I have a weird collection of concerts and Coldplay experiences because I've been a fan since 2005. My first concert was in 2009, so it's weird for me to think, like, I went 4 years without ever seeing them live, and then I only saw them once in 2009. I saw them once in 2012. And then I was able to see them twice during the Head Full of Dreams era. So once in 2016, once in 2017. Yeah, I actually flew all the way across the country to San Diego to go see them. But that was, it was actually like perfect though, because it was the last show of the US tour for the Head Full of Dreams era. That was where they played Life is Beautiful, which obviously that was more of a not last minute, but closer to last minute addition. Yeah. So I didn't know they were going to do that. But it was also a couple days before my birthday, and my parents and my youngest sister are sort of out on that side of the country. So I was able to see them in person for the first time in a couple years. Wow. Yeah. So it like it all worked out. Then my friend April, who's on Twitter, April Xyloto, I don't know if you know her, but
yes, I do.
I've been, you know, I've known her since the like MX era pretty much. And I got to meet her in person. She was there actually, if I remember correctly, even like, Ian from Coldplay Extra and like EJ and stuff, they were there. I got to meet them too. So it was like just a cool experience for that. But those are the only like official concerts that I've been to. Just those four.
Just those four.
But then I've had other.
Just them.
Yeah. Just those four. Some people like have not been to concerts at all. And I hope that they can someday because it's an amazing experience. But then there's other people who've like, they probably went to four shows just during the Head Full of Dreams tour alone.
Yeah. So like it's Jimmy, like, you know Jimmy.
It's like, yeah.
Actually, I want to bring him here, actually.
That would be awesome. I'm pretty sure in my Milo Xyloto concert, I met him. I was standing next to him because we had both gotten upgraded.
Wow.
Yeah, so I actually did get to meet him once. But yeah, he's pretty legendary at this point.
Yes.
Well, I've only been to four full Coldplay concerts, but I have seen them in other circumstances as well. They headlined the Made in America Festival in 2016, which was like about a month after the concert that they did in Philly. So I technically went to that. I biked down to where they have it near the art museum, and I watched them perform from outside the fence. Oh my God. So I wasn't like really there, but I was thinking about it. I was like, I'm pretty much as close to them now as I was during the concert I actually paid for. And they did like a full set that night. I'm pretty sure at least close enough to a full set. So I saw them there then. In 2019, in November 2nd, they were doing Saturday Night Live, and I went to that, camped out on the sidewalk. Actually, with Haley was there. That was the first time I met them in person because I had known Haley since the Viva La Vida era. Actually, turns out we went to the same concert. That was both of our first Coldplay concerts.
And you didn't know each other by that time.
We didn't. I don't know if we might have interacted on Coldplaying before then, but we weren't like really friends and we didn't know that we were both there until after. And then also Abby was there as well. He and I were kind of like going to Saturday Night Live together, so we camped out together and stuff. He saved me a spot in the line, which I'm very grateful for because otherwise I might not have gotten in. But so I was able to see them on Saturday Night Live when they performed Orphans, and then they did Everyday Life for the first time.
You listened before everybody else, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, because we went to the live taping, and there's also a dress rehearsal. So technically, the people at the dress rehearsal got to hear it first, but but we still got, you know, among the first, and this was the first, like, recording of it. Live.
It's enough.
Yeah. And then I was very, very fortunate to, a little over a month ago, I guess like almost a month and a half at this point, go to the Today Show taping that they did, and
my God.
That was aired live, but then the Macy's 4th of July fireworks spectacular was taped on the same day. So it was like first thing in the morning, see Coldplay on the Today Show, and then end the day seeing Coldplay perform for the fireworks spectacular. So yeah, that I also went to with Haley. They were the one who brought me along for both of those things. So I'm very grateful for Haley.
Haley needs to be here. I really want Haley here. Very good.
Absolutely.
I have been to the Coldplay concert that they recorded live for A Head Full of Dreams. So, very amazing night. And it's even more amazing because I have it like right here on my shelf. I can see whatever I want. So, A Head Full of Dreams. I'm not a major fan of the album. I need to say that. It's not my favorite Coldplay album, but the concert... the live shows of A Head Full of Dreams.
It's amazing.
It's very clear that it's an album made to be played live. Mm-hmm. And I love when bands do that. Like, I mean, I love when I listen to something and then I have the chance to experience, not only listen, but to experience the same thing. And Coldplay is a master on doing that.
Absolutely. That's how I feel. Honestly, I think... they definitely accomplish that in Head Full of Dreams. I would say they always accomplish it.
Of course.
Even before that. But that's how I felt like listening to Higher Power. That like I love that song, but the experience of being there when they're playing it live is just still so different.
Of course. And Higher Power, I guess, I think this whole album, I mean, I can't even imagine what is Coloratura like. I can't even start describing what it's going to be to listen, to be there when this song is performing, it's being performed.
It'll be
live.
Interesting to see what they do with that because it's so big and because there's so much like empty space in the song, you know what I mean? Like there's so much not singing parts. And they haven't really done much of that in their concerts in recent eras, so it'll be interesting to see how that translates.
Yeah, I mean, Chris said by the end of A Head Full of Dreams tour that from now on they would only be full of surprises.
Only be full of surprises.
So I think that everything we know about Coldplay, it's just a part of it now. I mean, we can be wrong. I hope that we are wrong talking about this because I remember what happened to Up of the Birds that was not played live. Either.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect way to finish the show. So, but well, I understand what they have chosen to end with Every Drop is a Waterfall. That is the song that they usually finish their concerts. But, I mean, I really want to see Coloratura live. Please go play just this song. If you want to do like just this song as a whole concert, it's okay for me.
It would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Now, I want to change topics a little bit, talk maybe a bit of more personal stories. You are an animator.
Yes, I am.
Right? Very good. I have a bit personal question about that because I am a music producer. So we were both on the artistic field. And I want to ask you, when you see like an animated film or something, do you feel like you're paying too much attention into the technique part of it and not enjoying the whole thing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I think that if the best answer I can give is if something is done really well, both like technically, but also... you know, it kind of depends on what it is. So if it's like a fictional piece of animation, for example, or like a narrative, rather than just being like an abstract animation, then if it's really good, then I can notice the technical stuff and be really interested by the technical stuff without it being distracting. If it's distracting, then there's probably something lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I see.
And for like abstract stuff, then it's really all about the technical, I guess, for me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it does. I'm asking that maybe this maybe not even enter the podcast is because I, as a music producer, sometimes I can't fully emerge into a song because of the technical thing. I instead of enjoying the song, sometimes I feel like, how is this sound? How was this sound done? And what I don't know what elements, what instruments, what guitar pedals, what those guys did to create this. Sometimes this get much more space in my head than the actual song, and this is so disturbing. This is so horrible.
I don't think that's always a horrible thing, though. I can tie this back to Coldplay too, because I understand what you mean. For me, I experienced that seeing, like, thinking about, like, oh wow, I wonder how they did that, because that, like, to me, it's interesting, and I want to know, how can I make that? How can I learn how to do something that is that cool? And here's tying it back to Coldplay. It reminds me of when Chris talks about, like, because, you know, he listens to a lot of music, and it's not just about, like, oh wow, he listens to so many different genres, and that is obviously contributing to Coldplay's, like, style nowadays. But also just, like, number-wise, he listens to a lot of stuff. He always talks about it being, like, staying hungry and always looking for, you know, what else you can bring to what it is that you're creating. So I think that if, you know, if that's how your brain attaches to the stuff that people have created, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But I guess if you feel like you can't enjoy the song because you're thinking of it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then it's, I don't know. It's kind of a problem.
Sorry.
Well, no, no problem.
That's what I was thinking about, because the first thing that I'm thinking of that comes to mind for me with as far as films is, like, in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Have you seen that movie?
Love it. Yes.
I love that movie so much. And the visual aspect, the way that movie's put together with the 3D and the, like, 2D aesthetics, because I think there's some 2D animation, but also a lot of it is done in 3D and just mimics 2D. Like, that is fascinating to me. But at the core of it is this story that I still really love. So even if it didn't look cool, it's still a great story. And I think that is why I can appreciate it, even if I'm thinking about the technical stuff a lot, or thinking about, like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so I don't know, maybe it's different with music, because there's not always such, like, a structured story behind the music, and a lot of songs can be more abstract or bare in terms of, like, a plot or anything, you know?
I don't think so, because, well, we don't have, like, a monomyth, like, usually we have on stories, on narratives, but we have some basic structures, like, verse one and then chorus, and then verse two, bridge and chorus. This is very structured, so it's kind of the same idea of the monomyth thing. Usually that's what happens in pop music and in music in general. So, yes, we kind of have something like that, but I think you said that you don't know. I don't know either, but if we can maybe get something out of this, is that we turn out to be more resistant to things that are mediocre.
Yeah. Like,
we turn out to, because it's kind of into our expectations already. But I really wanted to ask you about that, and I think that this is very nice that you mentioned Coldplay and how you introduced Chris's line here, because I really love how Chris understands his band, his job. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy who has lots of things. Like, he probably haven't watched A Head Full of Dreams until today. He probably has never listened to Parachutes in 10 years. he probably doesn't care about Parachutes anymore, but he understands his job as an artist, and he understands how the words is responding to that, is answering to that things, to the music that he's doing. And the whole reason that I started talking about you being in animation and you being inside of the context of a Coldplay fan is, do you think that the Coldplay in general, maybe music, maybe visuals, anything that is related to Coldplay, do you think they somehow influence your creative style?
Yes, absolutely. I think especially ever since the Milo Xylitol era, because of the, you know, Coldplay has such an interesting use of color in their aesthetics. And what else can I say? I mean, their visuals are really awesome. And in terms of like the music, I think so maybe I'll backtrack a little bit for what you were saying about Chris, is that, because he has such like a vision for what he wants his music to be. And then, you know, the rest of the guys contribute to that as well. And they've maybe contributed more so in the later years than at the beginning, because at the beginning it was very much like the Chris machine. And everyone was like treated fairly. Everyone's treated fairly. Everyone gets their say. But a lot of the times he would talk about, you know, he's the one coming up with the songs, and then the rest of the guys are giving their opinions after the fact. And in fact, that was why in the Viva La Vida era, or even it might have been just, I think it was before the Viva La Vida era, but also happened during the Viva La Vida era when they were working on Milo Xylitol. But Brian Eno kicked him out of the studio to see what the band would do without Chris.
Yes.
And that vision still exists. And I think sometimes, because Chris is a very visual person. If you've ever seen the Milo Xylitol pop-up book, there's scans in there of his journals that were created, and you can see all over the place some of the aesthetics and stuff like that. So we know that Chris has a lot to do with the visuals of every era, maybe even more so than the other guys. First of all, that kind of drive and that kind of passion is really inspiring to me. And it sometimes, like, I'll look at my Coldplay posters in the morning and that gets me out of bed, because I'm thinking, like, they made such cool things. I want to go make cool things too.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And then along with that vision, right? So you're also talking about, like, not going back to previous things that they've done, but still over the course of their career, you can see these different patterns and different themes coming up. Not just in the way the music sounds, although that's true too, like we talked about with Coloratura, but also just in like the kinds of messages that they're putting through the lyrics. It's a lot of the same thing throughout the entire discography. It's just like they're trying to do it over and over again until they reach this like perfect version, which is kind of what Chris was talking about for A Head Full of Dreams, that was like the ultimate place that they had been trying to get to at that point. And so there's a lot from that in those messages that keep coming up in the music that also like kind of just, I guess, speak to me as a person. And probably speak to all of us, probably a big reason why we're all really interested in Coldplay, to the extent that we like join the fandom and become part of this one big band family.
A lot of references in your speech. Yes, this is so amazing. I mean, we have and it was one of the reasons for me to create the podcast. I mean, we are connected to each other because of this band. We have a lot in common, and we sometimes don't even know our names and our faces because we're hidden into Twitter handles and profile pictures and I think like, no, this needs to be something a bit more personal. We need to talk to those people, we need to listen to those people, and they have stories to tell.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that maybe if we got something good from the pandemic is that more people, I've seen more people become more comfortable with video chatting.
Yes.
Where it's like, this is...
We had to.
Yeah. I mean, for me, this is like my way of communicating with my family right now, because all of my family live in different places. And so it's nice. I've seen this become a bigger thing in the fandom now too. So we get to like actually talk to each other and see each other, even though we all live in such different places.
Of course. Yeah. And I mean, this is so connected to Coldplay. This is so connected to what the band has to say. This idea of, like, I remember when they played here in Brazil, that Chris has, he always has like the flag of each country, but I remember seeing a picture of Chris's dad. Chris's dad was here with him on tour, and they played also in Porto Alegre, that is a town here in the south of Brazil. And I was there too. And I mean, his father was dressed up with how can I say that? With traditional clothing from the town. And it was just amazing. It was like, and they played to some hospitals. There's a very famous hospital in São Paulo that is cancer hospital, something like that. Mm-hmm. The translation would be something like that, that attends mostly children. And they just went there and played for them. And I mean, and they, all they do is about connection.
Yeah.
Like they create alien languages to connect with us, to talk to us, to hide things on music videos and post signs on alien radio for us. And I mean, this connection is so strong, because I don't know you, you don't know me. This is literally the first time we're seeing each other's face.
Yep.
But we have something that connect us, and what we have that connect us to other people. And that's why I talked in the beginning, like, it may sound a bit cliche to talk about the one big band and a big family and an everybody
but
in the world.
But it's true.
But it's true. Yeah. And
it
sometimes
really is.
I was talking to a friend when Everyday Life came out, and she was like, don't you think that this is a too European way to talk about those kind of things? And I was like, yes, they are four European guys. But... And this conversation took like a long way. It was like a whole day talking about Everyday Life and how Coldplay addressed some sensitive topics like black people and immigrants on the same album. And the thing was, Coldplay is a worldwide band. They need to say things for a worldwide, for everybody, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe sometimes they won't be like, I don't know how to say that, but maybe sometimes some things are going to be very simple, but if it's very simple, everybody can understand.
Yes.
And that was just so amazing for me, because I started to think into like, when I've read that they were going to talk about, what has this conversation become? When I've read that they were going to talk about like black people, and this was way before George Floyd and those kind of things, but when you see that we have like a band talking about black people, like they did in Trouble in Town, and lots of sensitive topics, I was like, God, they will be canceled. Something will happen. But then they proved me wrong. Not that I wanted Coldplay to be canceled, but, and you know, people canceled Coldplay because of Him for the Weekend.
Yeah.
The video.
So. Right, right. Oh, yeah, that.
And I remember talking on Reddit some when Everyday Life came out, some people said, those lyrics are too simple. And I was like, yes, and thanks God for that. Because that's exactly what the album talks about. Like, sometimes things are just too hard. And we need to simple things down.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's applicable to a lot of Coldplay's lyrics, that it's like simple but effective. And there definitely is. I think that's what draws a lot of people to them. Even in just their, I mean, you know, we're talking about Everyday Life here. That's definitely a heavier album.
Yeah.
So even in some of the lighter stuff, like any... One thing I remember someone talking about, and yeah, this is absolutely true, on like any of their love songs, for example, they're very rarely using pronouns. A lot of it is like you, me kind of thing. And that means that anyone can attach themselves to that. Anyone can see it from that perspective. And so, like, that's one way that they can kind of keep things a little bit more generic, and it allows it to reach out to even more people that way, because it's not too specific that it, like, alienates some people.
Yes. And, well, I think now they... I mean, this is applicable to everything that Coldplay has ever done, as you said, but now, with Music of the Spheres, this is kind of screaming on our face. I mean, this is very clear. Like, they literally say that everybody's an alien somewhere, and I'm like, wow, they are really meaning it. So it's very beautiful to see that we have a band that can, because my biggest fear is that they cannot communicate what they want to communicate because of this expectation of being the most general as possible. I mean, sometimes when you are 100% accessible, you're not accessible because you're too accessible. And lots of quotation marks. But no, they can do that. They have, like I said, I when I went to their concert, I could literally prove to you that I was not on Earth anymore. And this is just beautiful. This is just life-changing for me.
Yeah.
We're going to finish now, but I still have one more question for you. That actually was a question that I was supposed to ask in the beginning, but we just kept talking and it was nice. So I want to ask you, how did you discover them? You said that you discovered them in 2005. That's a long time.
Yes.
And how was that? How did you know that they were a thing that you wanted to be a part of?
So I had heard some Coldplay before then as well. I, like you, had heard Clocks before, but I didn't realize that, honestly, when I became a fan and started looking up their songs, I heard Clocks and I was like, wait, that's not a classical piano. So I didn't know it was Coldplay, but I had heard it before because I was like, I've heard this before. I thought it was like something else. I didn't realize it was like a modern band. But I remember consciously hearing Coldplay first with Yellow, because they would play it on the radio sometimes. And this would have been like 2002, around there, I think. Maybe 2003. So I was about 10 years old. And I think I've heard people talk about, like, that's really the period in your life where you start to, like, develop your own tastes and things. So up until that point, it might just be a lot of what your parents have with music listened to, or things that you've just kind of been exposed to, but you're not necessarily, like, collecting the things that you like as actively. Or maybe a lot of it is just stuff that's like targeted toward kids your age, and so there's nothing else for you. But then in 2005 was when Speed of Sound was released as the first single for X and Y. And at that point, I was in junior high, and I would, before leaving for the bus stop, while I was getting ready in the morning, I would have on mostly VH1, and then sometimes I would switch to like MTV or Fuse, just so like if the commercials were on or something, or if there was a song on that I didn't like. But mostly VH1, and the Speed of Sound video was one of those videos that would come up and play, and so I got to listening to it more and I really liked it. And I had remembered one time when I was listening to Yellow on the radio that they said who the band was. Apparently my mom had listened to some Coldplay because she like knew Trouble. She remembered Trouble. And I was like, that feels like a rare one to know, even though it was one of the singles. But that's definitely not a song that they still play on the radio here anyway. And so, you know, I was listening to Speed of Sound. I remember that they did the Storytellers for VH1, and there was a commercial that came on, and my mom pointed out to me, she was like, that's Coldplay. And I was like, That's what Chris Martin looks like. I do not remember. I cannot for the life of me remember what I would have thought Chris Martin would look like, but it wasn't that. I just know that. I just remember being surprised. not like in a bad way. It was just like different from what I expected.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So from there, that was really the time when I was like, okay, I like this song. Well, I'm going to keep like looking into more of them. And I also spent a lot of time on the VH1 website as well. So listening to music while I was on the computer. And so they had some like old interviews. If you've ever heard the interview where Chris talks about kite flying, it's amazing. That was on there.
Oh my God.
And
I don't think so.
I'll have to try. I'll like send you the link for it. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. At least the audio is. And so I was like watching all that stuff, starting to listen to their older music. I mean, at this point, it's like probably the album X and Y was out by that point, but it was like maybe Fix You had just been released as the second single. And then I just had two other albums before that to like kind of catch up with. And then later that year for Christmas, my mom got me X and Y. So that was my very first Coldplay album.
That's so sweet.
And I listened to it so, so much. That's probably part of one of the reasons why, like, I associate the albums very much with the times of year.
Yeah.
With specific times of year. And for that, for X and Y, I associate it a lot with winter because that's when I got it.
Yeah.
And then in the following spring was when I was able to get, actually went from X and Y to Parachutes and then A Rush of Blood to the Head. And so those albums I associate with the spring. And around that same time, maybe even before I got the other two albums, I found, at first I was on the official Coldplay.com message boards. They actually had message boards.
I remember that.
And I like signed up for the newsletter. I still have one of the old ones, I think from when they released the Hardest Part video. Ooh. That I have saved in my really old email. And so I was not just then becoming a Coldplay fan or like becoming a fan of Coldplay, but becoming a Coldplay fan and becoming part of the fandom. And that eventually those message boards shut down and I switched over to Coldplaying, which I had made an account on before just so I could download files. but then that was during the Viva era. And so that like was just an amazing era to be a part of as a fan in the fandom because there was so much happening on Coldplaying and it was like pretty similar to how the Twitter fandom is today, except we were on a website dedicated to Coldplay rather than a website that we're just, so a little more focused in some areas, which was nice.
A little more focused.
Twitter can be a little bit messy because it's like, yeah, we're here for Coldplay, but we're maybe also here for some other things, and everyone else using the website is here for other things too.
Yeah.
But that is really, I guess, my story of how I got into Coldplay. VH1. Thank you, VH1.
Thank you, VH1. A lot of people may say thank you to VH1 also, right? Because of Coldplay.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. I mean, I have a friend that also knew Coldplay because of Speed of Sound. And his story is very similar to yours, by the way. And just to finish, we have already talked about Music of the Spheres in the beginning. But I want to know, like, what are your expectations for the whole record? For the first part of the record, maybe, right? Because, well, volume one it says something for sure.
Well, so when we were talking about Colorchura and you mentioned that you were wanting to save it to listen to as the album closer. And that's the kind of thing that I think about right now. I'm like, this song is amazing. And this song, like, I can tell just listening to it that it is a conclusion, that it is, like, the logical end point of whatever comes before it. So even without having heard most of that, apart from those little, like, 10-second clips, I can tell that it's just, like, what is gonna be the rest of this album if the ending song is this amazing and everything else is leading up to this, like, how incredible is it gonna be? So I'm very excited, and like I said, you know, there's such a, like, every song is different, very different.
Yes, yes.
And so I'm really, really interested in hearing all of them. And there's not, I mean, so there's, like, the tracks, like, the first Music of the Spheres one that we've already heard with Higher Power. Then there's the second one, which is also, like, these are really short clips.
Yeah.
That I think
interludes.
There's something to them. They might not be songs that I, like, actively seek out later on, for example, but I'll listen to them if they come up on shuffle. So that those are, like, the only exceptions that I would say, you know, but it's like Color Spectrum, for example, on A Head Full of Dreams. Like, I don't ever sit there and think, oh, I really want to listen to Color Spectrum. But when it comes up, I listen to it, you know? Yeah, but yeah. With Milo Xylitol, though, sometimes I do, like, especially A Hopeful Transmission, I love that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I will actively go out and listen to that one.
Yeah, but for me, both Milo Xylitol and Hopeful Transmissions are just, like, small excuses for me to listen to the next song that is Hurts Like Heaven and Don't Let It Break Your Heart.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I probably would listen to
something in shuffle and then I don't know, Hopeful Transmissions enters, I'm like, okay, now I need to listen to Don't Let It Break Your Heart.
Yeah, exactly. So, but with the exception of those, which are really meant to be within the context of the full album, not necessarily as songs on their own, there's none of it. There's no track that I'm not excited to listen to. You know what I mean? I'm excited to hear every single one of them. So,
I mean, it's everything that Coldplay released since A Head Full of Dreams. Like, I remember the day that they ended the A Head Full of Dreams tour in Buenos Aires, that they published that video saying that from now on we'll only be full of surprises.
Yeah.
That broke me entirely. I was like, what is going to happen? Because we knew that A Head Full of Dreams was the end of something, so what was beginning next? And I remember that Los Unidades happened, and I was like, damn, is this Coldplay now? I mean, is this what's going to happen? But, I was like,
they dropped it.
Thank God. I mean, nice that they had, like...
I liked Los Unidades.
Really?
I still listen. Yeah, I was listening to, like, I can't remember if I was listening to Voodoo or Timbuktu. I listened to both of them within the past week.
Oh, my God. For me, they're just so not Coldplay. But, I mean, I think it's very nice to see that they are playing around, making whatever they want.
Yeah.
And that's actually how nice I think that everything we're going to have this era. So, with Music of the Spheres, I think we're probably not having iPhone recordings, but we're having the same kind of freedom. And this is amazing.
I think there might be a little bit, because didn't Chris say that he recorded the sync sound on his phone and it's still in the final track for Higher Power?
The sync sound?
So it's not the same as Wonder
of
the World.
I don't think it's the same, but I don't remember him saying that it is on the actual song, but...
I'll still look that up. I thought he might have said that in an interview somewhere.
Oh, but if it is, I really want the stems from Higher Power. Yeah. Because...
Well, and I think, too, like, they definitely did some of that on, like, A Head Full of Dreams, like, with the bird sounds that I'm pretty sure Chris recorded from his, like, backyard or something. So I think they are still... That's one of the things I think is really cool about the band, too, is they're, like, experimenting with the way that music is made, but in very, like, subtle and not obvious ways.
Yes.
That's just, like, we're recording sounds randomly with a phone and then putting them into the music, but not in, like, an obnoxious way, you know what I mean?
They're titling the songs with emojis.
Yeah.
They can do anything now. Yeah, this is very nice. Brooke, thank you very much.
Thank you for having
It was
me.
Amazing talk to you.
Of course.
I think we can continue talking, like, for 2 and 3 more hours.
If you ever want to bring me back on, I'm happy to do it again.
Oh, very good, very good. Brooke, thank you very much. I hope that it was nice for you to talk about Coldplay.
I've had a blast.
Be a part of this podcast. Do you have anything else that you want to say?
Can I plug my Twitter handle
of
and YouTube
course.
Channel? So
of
if you
course.
Don't know me, I am at In A Wooden House on Twitter. And I've been trying to make a lot more Coldplay related videos on YouTube. So I have some videos now that are like kind of talking about different individual songs. So like Every Teardrop is a Waterfall, Glass of Water, Rainy Day, and kind of like breaking down a lot of the themes in those songs, like lyrics and stuff. And I'm currently working on a video about Milo Xylitol, the album versus the comics, and doing some other Coldplay related videos, like my top 10 lists and stuff like that. So if you want to check that out, I believe my YouTube URL is still Coldplay is awesome. But if you follow me on Twitter, I'll definitely post the videos as they're released too.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good, Tabrook. Thank you very much. I hope we see each other sometime soon.
Thank you. Yes, it's been fun.
And feel free to come back anytime you want and anytime if we have
Absolutely.
The opportunity.
Right. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Code Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Samines. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luis Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Code Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.